The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Which gospel did Jesus Christ actually preach? Have you been deceived about this most basic matter? Did Jesus tell people just to believe in himself? Or did Jesus Christ bring a powerful message from God in heaven? You may be surprised at the real answer. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith explains what is the true gospel. And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
My wife and I were hearing a famous evangelist on television the other night. As usual, he kept talking about Jesus Christ's sacrifice and his shed blood. Again, as usual, he said that all you have to do is give your heart to the Lord, make your decision to accept Christ right now, and so on. He said virtually nothing about real repentance from your sins or about believing the real message which Christ brought from heaven. Virtually nothing was said about believing the powerful truths of Christ's message and the way of life which we're supposed to live. He just got sentimental about Christ's person. Now that's nice, in a way. That's real sweet. But is that all Christ preached? Is that the true gospel? Think about it. Which is the message that Christ brought from the Father? And are you willing to prove to yourself the real truth about Jesus Christ and his message? You should think about that right now before we go any further. Are you willing to believe? I grew up believing certain things. I never challenged what my folks taught. I never challenged what the neighbors were doing. I just grew up believing certain things. So did you. But God tells us something different. Notice what God challenges you to actually do. Turn to 1 Thessalonians in your New Testament, chapter 5 and verse 21. Here the Apostle Paul tells us, and I'm reading in the New King James Version, test all things, hold fast that which is good. Or as the old King James has it, the one most of them are familiar with, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. You should prove or test everything, my friends, and certainly spiritual truth from God. Be sure that you believe the right thing. Don't be afraid of the truth. And notice what the Apostle Paul warned about people turning away and being deceived. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Paul says, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Christ's message was very straightforward, because when you understand it, the new covenant was simply an expansion of the old. The new covenant was a magnification of the old. The teaching of Jesus was simply a magnification of the way of life that God had given from time past, and God's servants had obeyed, basically, following the Ten Commandments, following a certain way of life, and Christ came to magnify the law and make it holy. It wasn't something terribly different. But most of the modern theologians give you the idea it's all been changed and everything God said back then has been done away. The simplicity that is in Christ, that's interesting, an interesting statement, and we need to think about that. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, think about that. Which Jesus do you believe in? The Jesus of the Bible or another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you believe a different spirit, Paul writes, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. These emotional Corinthians might have just put up with most anything that came along. Would you? I hope you wouldn't. But please think about it. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to hurt you. Think about this, my friends. Do you believe a different gospel from the gospel that is very obviously and continuously talked about here in the Bible? What then did Jesus Christ and the original apostles actually preach? Notice in Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. Now after John was put in prison, that's the time Jesus' message began, Jesus came to Galilee preaching what? What did he preach? Give your heart to the Lord, just believe on me, and that's all you have to do. and just get sentimental about me and my blood that I'm going to shed here in a few years. No, he came preaching the gospel. The word gospel means good news. The gospel of the kingdom of God. Here's a message about a kingdom. The kingdom of God. Not the kingdom in heaven, but the kingdom of heaven, as it is sometimes called. Most of all, it's called the kingdom of God, because it's controlled from heaven. It's the kingdom of heaven, run by heaven, and it's the kingdom of God. It's his kingdom, and he's going to set up his kingdom, or his government, here on this earth in a very few years. So he said he was preaching the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. It was his hand in the sense that the very king of that kingdom was right there in their midst, and he was preaching the message, the way by which you can enter that kingdom and be a ruling agent, a king or a priest under Jesus Christ in that kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, the word repent means turn around and go the other way. So they had to repent of their sins. And all the way through the New Testament tells us to repent of our sins. And 1 John 3:4 tells us, at the end of your New Testament, 1 John 3:4, sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is breaking God's law. That's the thing that people don't often understand, because the churches kind of blur that. Well, sin is sort of this or that, or it might be going to a bad movie, and that's true. It might be drinking, it might be dancing, it might be smoking or whatever. But they don't tell you exactly what sin is. Sin is breaking the Ten Commandments, in the letter or in the spirit. Repent, he said, repent of your sins. Turn away from your wrong ways and believe the gospel. Believe the good news about the coming government of God, Christ coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the whole world being changed. Notice back in Matthew now, if you would, Jesus Christ was preaching here in Matthew 4 and verse 23 as he began his gospel. Now, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. So again, he was preaching the gospel, the good news of the coming kingdom of God. Notice back in Revelation now, if you would, let's turn to Revelation, and I'm going to turn to chapter 11 of this great book that was, of course, written, as all scholars acknowledge, by the Apostle John, the apostle that was closest of all to Jesus Christ, that leaned on Jesus' breast on that last Passover evening, the one that was very, very close to Jesus Christ. He's called the Apostle of Love. Because all the way through the Gospel of John and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he wrote so much about love. But it's kind of interesting, here in the book of Revelation, he writes about another side of God. Not just a nicey-nice little Lord Jesus, no, but the Christ who's now sitting at the right hand of God in heaven, ready to return to crush the nations of this world, to take over the rule of this earth. Why? Because he hates people? No, because he loves them. And we have messed up. And we're going to continue to mess up, my friends, in the way we rule ourselves and in the way we live our lives. We're on a moral toboggan slide going straight down in our modern society. Christ is going to help us get away from the illegitimate children, the people with AIDS, the people who are suffering from all the wrong ways of life they've been living, the people butchering each other all over Africa and Asia and all over the world. That's going to come to an end. Revelation 11 now, verse 15, the seventh angel sounded, this last trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world, not kingdoms up in heaven, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Thank God, Christ is literally coming back to this earth. We're going to get things straightened out right here. Not up in heaven, but here on this earth. Now, this is talking about a real government with Christ coming back to rule the nations of this world and having a kingdom, a government set up on this earth. Every real kingdom has four components. First of all, you have a king or ruler. Next, you have land or territory. Then you have people or citizens of the kingdom. And fourthly, you have laws and a form of government. All real kingdoms have those things. And, of course, we want to be sure that we know that God's kingdom is going to have the same thing. And when you think about it, it will. And I'll be showing you that through this program. Christ's soon coming government will be comprised of all four of these necessary components. Notice now Christ's parable regarding the kingdom of God. Turn to Luke 19, if you would. Luke 19 and verse 11. Now, as they heard these things that Jesus was speaking, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought, his disciples thought, that the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Now, this was getting near the end of Jesus' ministry. It's interesting that even at that time, after perhaps 2 or 2.5 years of his ministry, they still had the idea it was going to be a literal government. He didn't tell them it was going to be otherwise. They just thought it was going to come right now. He showed them it's going to come later, but they always understood then and always that a literal government was going to be set up on this earth. Notice what he said. Therefore, Jesus said, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and a return. And nearly all, you know, scholars, even Protestant, Catholic, whatever, they understand, this is talking about Jesus going to heaven after his resurrection, before he returns again. And so he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, or measures of money, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent delegations after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. We don't want this man to rule over us. We want to do our own thing. And so it was when he returned, having received the kingdom, here is Christ at his second coming, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. It's not wrong to trade, or it's not wrong, of course, to have an investment as long as you're not just gambling or wildly speculating. It's not wrong to put your money in a savings account or a government note or something like that. This shows that very clearly. Jesus did not teach communism. This was capitalism. Then the first came saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. Whatever he'd been given, he increased it tenfold. And he said to him, now notice this, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. The opportunity to rule and to teach and to train and to help those people, maybe in places like Bangladesh, or Calcutta over in India, or places where people are starving to death, helping those people, straightening out the horrifying problems they have authority over 10 cities. The next one came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Notice, he didn't say we're going off to heaven and you go up there and have nothing to do. He said, you will be ruling, obviously under Jesus Christ, as King of Kings, over 5 cities or 10 cities. Then we go to Luke chapter 22, just 3 chapters ahead here. Notice with me now, Luke chapter 22, and here is the very end of Jesus' ministry. After the final Passover, he talks briefly with his apostles before they leave. He said this, verse 28, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father has bestowed upon me. You see, Christ was to be King of Kings. We just saw it. He's coming back to rule all nations. That you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The apostles were rewarded by being given great authority over the 12 nations of Israel and tomorrow's world in the kingdom of God. Christ's kingdom is real. It's a genuine government to be set up on this earth, my friends, and it is coming soon in the lifetimes of probably most of you. At this point, my friends, I invite you to write for our eye-opening booklet on this very subject. It is entitled, Do You Believe the True Gospel? It is easy to read, but its message is powerful. So call or write today and request your free copy of our vital booklet. It's absolutely free. It's a booklet on the true gospel. Just ask for the booklet on the true gospel.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic. Which gospel did Jesus Christ actually preach? Again, let's turn to Luke 19 and verse 17. He said to him, this faithful servant, "Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities." That was a reward Christ promised. That's a reward spoken of, as we shall see, all the way through the Bible. Can the theologian spiritualize all of these promises away? Many of them try to do this, and they talk about going to heaven with nothing to do. Will you let them get away with this false teaching? Will you follow this false teaching? Will you believe their false gospel? You have to think about it. Wake up, folks. Some of you are hearing the truth for the very first time in your life. And I want you to be willing to listen to it, to understand it, to prove it, to consider it with an open mind and an open heart. Notice what the Apostle Paul taught. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints?" You see, the kingdom of God is the government of God. And Paul envisioned that people in God's true church ought to learn to practice that type of government, to understand God's laws, to apply God's laws to real life situations now. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? That's our calling. The saints will judge the world. I might pause here and, by the way, and digress a little. Many of you have thought saints are people with long black robes or long white robes who go around, you know, with their hands like this with halos around their head. No! The New Testament speaks over and over of all the people in God's church as being saints. All true Christians, those who have God's Spirit within them, are called saints, not just some unusually serious or strict individual. The saints will judge the world. And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? We're going to even judge the angelic host later on. Think about that. We have an awesome opportunity if we're born again, born of God, resurrected, and in the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do. Turn to Revelation chapter 2 now. Again, the beloved Apostle John wrote this book, and he was inspired by God. And in this book, Jesus Christ is speaking in the first person a number of times, as you'll notice here. Revelation chapter 2, and beginning in verse 26. "He who overcomes and keeps my works," Jesus said, "unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Power over the nations, not rebellious nations up in heaven, of course, but the nations of this earth. "He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the potter's vessel shall be broken in pieces, as I also received from my Father." Jesus, too, is coming back as king, but we will be kings and priests under his direction, because he's king of kings. Notice now Revelation 5 and verse 9. You'll see back in verse 8, this is talking about the prayers of the saints. This is a prayer or a song the saints sang. And they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll," speaking of Jesus, "and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, the blood of Christ, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." That's what it says right here. This has always been in your Bible, by the way. You know that. I didn't come around and put it in there. We shall reign, the saints of God will reign on the earth. So that's a very important consideration. And you need to think about that as a reality. Will you believe the Bible? What do you think about the Bible? Is it just something that has general ideas of sentiment? Or do you think it's telling the truth? You need to consider that as we go along. Revelation chapter 20 now. Revelation 20 and verse 6. God says, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection." That's when Christ comes again. "Over such the second death has no power, but they," you see, these true saints of God, the overcomers, "they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years." A kingdom of priests. like Samuel of old, frankly, that same pattern. We're going to teach people the truth, but we will rule them. We'll teach them, guide them, help them. I know a lot of ladies don't want to be all strict and mean and think I'm just going to crush nations, and they don't look forward to that. And yet you ladies love your children, and you love other people many times and want to help them. And that's what this is going to be all about. We're not going to be dictators. We will be helping people, teaching them, showing them the right way to live, help them to know God's law and how to apply God's law to their lives. And so we'll be able to do it in love, as teachers, as priests, and then as kings, with authority as well over the cities to guide the nations, to guide the people the right way. And as it tells us back in Isaiah, if some bad guy comes along and tries to grab some little child and hurt him or her, they'll hear a voice behind them saying, "This is the way, walk you in it." And the people in the world, of course, who get used to these spirit beings, the saints being there, and when that voice comes, they'll say, oh, it's one of them, you know, and they'll understand. And, of course, we'll be able to appear physically when we need to, but we can just speak with the voice, like the invisible man. And I'm not exaggerating. You see what Jesus Christ did after his resurrection, that gives us a little bit of an idea about how we, as the saints of Christ, can help teach and rule, speaking directly and sometimes invisibly, whatever, when we want to, as spirit beings in the resurrection from the dead and Christ's coming government to be set up on this earth. Notice Revelation chapter 22 now, beginning verse 12. Again, Jesus is speaking in the first person. "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Now, many modern ministers say, oh, there's no works. Yes, there are. Jesus told the young man back in Matthew 19, verse 17, if you would enter into life, keep the commandments. We've given you that many, many times. That's not changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as it tells us in Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Look it up. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Christ's teaching is the same, and the apostles taught the same, and the same is mentioned right here at the very end of the Bible. It doesn't change. And so he says his reward will be given according to his works, according to the reward, the works of each one. And Christ says, I am coming quickly. We don't go up there to get it. Christ comes back here to bring that reward. And we'll be rewarded by being given opportunity as kings and priests, teachers and rulers over the cities and over the nations of this earth to straighten it out under the overall direction and leading and inspiration and help, which we'll need, of course, of Jesus Christ. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Blessed are those who do his commandments. This is what Jesus said. And he said that again in the first person at the very end of the Bible. So don't think that God's law has been done away. For the basic law of Christ's kingdom will be the Ten Commandments. That will be the way of life. And we need to profoundly realize that. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 2 now, beginning in verse 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, God says, the latter days, that's our day. We're at the end of human history. We're at the time when man can annihilate himself from off this earth. So he says, in the latter days, the mountain of the Lord's house, the mountain is the kingdom of God, shall be established on the top of the mountains over all the other kingdoms, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. It will be ruling over the whole earth. Many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. What law? Always it's the law of the Ten Commandments, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And so God's law will go forth, you see. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They'll beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. War has to be taught. Hate has to be learned and how to kill others. That won't be taught anymore in God's kingdom. So this is the way God's kingdom will be run, according to God's law, with Christ as King of Kings, the apostles over each one of the tribes of Israel, and under them, and of course over all the nations of the earth, true saints over cities. here on earth under Jesus Christ. My friends, at this point, I know a lot of you are interested in what is behind this work. You would like to act on the truth that you're learning, and I want to help you to be able to do that. So if you would like to know about us, to talk to someone concerning this work, to answer Bible questions, to help you, then call the toll-free number, which you see on the screen. Just pick up the phone and call that number and ask for a visit. We have men out there who are very dedicated. Many are ministers, some are just representatives, but are very dedicated, very trained, and they will come with their wife or another man, never alone, and they will never come unless you set up an appointment, and you can help set the time and the place at your convenience. So if you want to act on the truth, if you want to learn more, be sure to call us and learn about this way of God and this work of God. Because this gospel of the kingdom of God, of Christ's coming government, is a reality. And these things are going to happen very soon. The end time prophecies are beginning to speed up, even as I speak. And this coming government of God is coming to this earth. And Christ will rule as King of kings and Lord of lords. And you want to be part of it. You want to be part of the action, so take action and do your part. Again, be sure to call or write immediately and request your free copy of our powerful booklet, Do You Believe the True Gospel? This booklet on the true gospel will spell out the details to you about Christ's real message of world government. Our 800 number is a free call to you. The operators are waiting now. So write or call now and just ask for the booklet on the true gospel.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
My friends, take time to tune in next week to an unusual program on a vital topic you have probably never understood before. And tune in every week to hear Richard Ames and me discuss vital information regarding biblical truth and the exciting prophecies that are beginning to take place right now. The Tomorrow's World is on the cutting edge of the future. It's definitely worth your time. So take the time. Make the time. See you right here next week.
The informative booklet offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579 or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.